The 40 days of prayer challenge. 40 days to give your heart back to God. 40 days to make a commitment to come in before the Lord and to talk things out. A 40-day challenge to listen to what God has to say through His Word and through His Spirit. And coming out of the Christmas season where we celebrated the birth of Christ and all that that brought to humanity, the arrival of Christ and the life that He lived and the life that He gave that we might all have eternal life. We come into 2019, this first day, this first opportunity as a congregation to meet and to worship together, coming back to rededicate ourselves to praying to God, talking things out with Him, to not just go by what we think we ought to do, but to go back to the One who knows what we ought to do, and making that a commitment in 2019. And so this 40 days of prayer challenge. And so today the sermon is titled, Work Towards Unity. That we would be a united body of Christ, a united church, coming before God, asking God that He would guide us, that He would strengthen us, that we would, through prayer and His Holy Spirit, we would experience His love renewed in our lives. His Word would be burned into our spirits. We would desire it even more. We would desire to know Him more, desire to love Him more, desire to love the people that He brings into your life more and more evident, to let God lead. Up in here is a Baptist, a Methodist. God's got a big family. And on many Sundays, it looks like we're totally doing a million other things. And today I want to encourage us that we would be a united body of Christ. Rededication today to prayer. This 40 days of prayer, God wants us to stay connected to Him daily. I don't know about you, but that font's not very big, and I apologize for that. That's all right. You'll just have to, I guess you'll just have to listen until we get going. But God wants us to stay connected to Him, and that's why it's important that we start off in 2019, the importance of rededicating our lives to praying and talking things over with God. Because just like it's important for spouses to talk to each other, not just what's on the calendar, but really sincerely talk to one another. Words of love, words of conflict resolution, words of encouragement, words that help, you know, encourage one another. It's important, even more important, that we get in a rededicating ourselves to the habit of talking things out with God. We want to stay connected to Him in 2019. See, we lose the sense of closeness when we don't talk to one another, and that happens with God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I go through seasons where I don't feel so close to God. And I can almost always, almost 100% of the time, chalk it back to that I'm not talking to Him. I'm just trying to do things in my own strength and in my own power and not talking things out to Him. So I feel distant. So when God begins to move spiritually, when He's saying, I want to do this, and you've decided to do that, you start to have conflict. You don't feel God's peace. You don't feel like He's loving you. You don't feel like He's close to you. But then you renew that time of talking things out, and it's like you're back on the same page. And that happens in our day-to-day life when we talk to one another. We can get going and doing things, and you feel disconnected. And then you have the time to talk things out. You feel like everybody's back on the same page, and it is good, and there is peace. Prayer usually reveals things to us that we might not notice. We know that. Things creep in. We all struggle with a variety of distractions. Things come into our lives and we get away from talking things out with God. So like I said, I'm encouraging us, the first thing 2019 as a church, to rededicate yourself to praying to God. Like I said, prayer reveals things that come up and they just come under the radar. We get going with life. We do things. We don't connect with God. We don't know what He's doing. And boom, next thing you know, your life is filled up with sin. Your life is filled up with other things that distract you. And that's why we need to make a rededication of talking things out with God. Because God is not going to let His children wander too far before He speaks into their hearts and says, I love you, child. I don't want you to do this. Child, I have something planned for you. Child, I love you so much. I don't want you to keep doing things that continue to hurt yourself. Come back and recommit yourself to me. Stay connected to me. Prayer can empower activity. How many of you over the last several months, you've been hoping that God would do something in your life? God would guide you, He would open a new door, or God would give you the strength to be able to do the things that He's wanting you to do, and you just haven't had that oomph, that strength, that empowering presence of God. I'm encouraging you today to rededicate yourself to praying. Because I feel that if you, when you're talking to God, God will give you the strength to do what He wants you to do. And if you haven't been experiencing the strength or the spiritual empowerment to do the things that God has placed you in this world to do, prayer is the way to come back and feel His power refuse. It's like plugging your cord to whatever device, TV, whatever, back into the source. We easily come unplugged when we don't talk to Him. So we come to this episode today in the book of Acts. And you know, I think when you jump into a book of the Bible and you just see one chapter or one part, it's like watching a TV episode when it's had a whole season. And you can just jump in and you can take for what you have it and enjoy it and go on. You don't need to know everything about the book of Acts. You don't need to know everything about the New Testament. You can jump in. And so today we're jumping in as God has a word for us about what it looks like to be the united body of Christ. Or how you and I can each work towards unity within the body of Christ. So we have this word from Acts chapter 15. So will you follow along as I read? And I will do the best I can, but I do have the scriptures on slide, but I want to just read so you know that I'm reading right out of the Word. And as I read, I'm going to do the best I can with going forward with this device. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers. Unless you are circumcised according to the customs prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved. But after Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious argument and debate, they arranged for Paul and Barnabas and some of the others to go up to the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem concerning this controversy. And when they had been sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, explaining in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and they created great joy among all the brothers. And when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles, and the elders, and they reported all that God had done for them, or with them. But some of the believers from the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them to the command them to keep the law of Moses." And then the apostles and the elders assembled to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you are aware that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the gospel message and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them by giving the Holy Spirit, just as He also did to you. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Why then are you now testing God by putting on the disciples' neck a yoke that neither our forefathers nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believed we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way that they are." And then the whole assembly fell silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul describing all the things and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they stood speaking, James responded, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has reported how God first intervened to take from the Gentiles a people for His name. And the words of the prophets agree with this, as it is written. After these things, I will return and I will rebuild David's tent, which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its ruins and will set it up again, so that those who are left of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles, who called by my name, says the Lord, who does these things, which have been known from long ago. Therefore, in my judgment, we should not cause difficulty for those who turn to God from among the Gentiles, but instead, we should write to them to abstain from these things that are polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from eating anything that has been strangled, and from blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you today. Father, come now and speak the words that you want us to hear. You've already given us your word. Now come and speak and soften our hearts to your word today that we might be encouraged. We praise you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we live in a unique time in history. You know, as you look through the world or you're involved in social media or you're just listening to the news, there's just several incidents almost every day, almost every couple hours of just kind of an anti-Christian sentiment. People who reject God's word to guide their lives. That the word of God is just some other sacred word that, you know, somebody a long time ago wrote. Reject God's word God's word said to love him. To cherish Him. To seek to know Him. To know His Word. That the Bible is no longer important to make vows to. We reject Jesus and His ministry. The world is looking for new ways to push out Christ in the workplace, in the homes, in our society. We reject the idea that we're sinners. That we're all good people, we're really just good people, all just seeking to do good things. And the reality is that we are all sinners and we're in need of a good God who loves us and pours His Spirit to change our minds and our thinking about Him. We can probably list about 35 different ways that you can see through movies or TV and conversations daily where God is being pushed out where He used to be involved. We're also in a unique time that there are true believers in a variety of church settings. So often we can get so focused on what our church is doing that this is all that He's doing. But God is doing some great things in a variety of church settings in this country, in this city, in this nation, and in other nations. Get the opportunity to wish cousins that are called to go to Africa, to share the gospel, to live their life, and to love the people in Africa. To love them with the love that God has given them. There's true believers in a variety of church settings. Some are answering the call to serve. No longer just satisfied with just coming to church and sitting in a pew, but actually taking what God has given them, the abilities and skills, and giving them a passion to go out and to serve in those areas where God has already equip them. And yet others are still in a state of spiritual plateau and they're okay with that. Just to go through the motions, just to do church and try to do church without God. There's a focus on doing good or being good, but not knowing God, who is good. Our God is good all the time. And He is the only true one who is good. And we need to stay attached to Him. We need to continue to seek Him. Continue to come and understand His good. Or to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you felt God was really, truly doing something only He could do in your life? Giving you a new understanding to a scripture that you might have read 100 times. Or empowering you to overcome a sin that has just been a part of your life for 40 years, 30 years, 80 years. That you just never been able to overcome. But now you're seeing God at work. Being transformed to trusting God and knowing His peace and knowing His joy, knowing Him. It's a unique time in our history. And God has called us to be lamp bearers or lamp carriers of His light and His message. We're to sing the song of the gospel. And yet today, my second challenge you to rededicate is to rededicate yourself to becoming one in Christ. And the awesome thing about this chapter 15 of the book of Acts, is that the Lord gave us Peter, Paul and Barnabas, and James, three pillars of the faith that speak towards how that we, in 2019, might be a united body of Christ. What we should be doing. Things for us to learn. And the first comes from Peter's. Peter's message to us this morning was this. We're all saved by God's grace. Amen. It's not about going to church. It's not about all the good things that you can do for somebody else. It's about that we are saved, that our salvation comes 100% by the work of God. And I love that they debated and they listened to each other, and through the Holy Spirit's guidance, Peter spoke these words, "We are all saved by God's grace." It is through God's grace that Jesus comes to minister His redemption plan. It is through His grace that Jesus came to redeem all of us. We just celebrated Christmas. And all the children, they had an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And He came and we celebrated Him. He is God's gift, the eternal gift that comes through Christ. And Christ came and He taught people what it meant to be in the kingdom of God. And He ultimately would give His life as a sacrifice for our sins because God loves us. Jesus comes to minister His redemption plan out of God's grace. Grace to those who cannot change for better, those who cannot change for eternity, those who need to be changed by God. Peter reminds us that it's the Holy Spirit. And when you see another brother or another sister from another church, there's a kindred spirit that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And where the Spirit is at work in a part, God is involved. So if they go to this church or that church, listen to what the Spirit is doing in their heart. For it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us. It is the Holy Spirit at work in a person's life that convicts them that they are a sinner and that they need God. And we can be united in knowing that no one becomes a follower of Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a commonality. That's something we have in common. That makes us kindred spirits, brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that as a part of this portion of Scripture. Peter addresses brothers. Paul and Barnabas address as brothers. James addresses as brothers. These are people who love their church family. These are people who love God's family. And they spoke from kindred hearts. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It convinces us that this is God's truth. This is the Word of truth. And we ought to need to make a rededication to reading God's Word. It's the foundation. It's what bonds all Christians together. God's Word. The reading of His Word. The knowing of His Word. And the living out of His Word. It is the Holy Spirit that convinces us of that truth. And it communicates. The Holy Spirit communicates love from God. It communicates into the inner parts of your soul and your mind to let you know, child, that God loves you. It is His Holy Spirit dwelling in you. God shared His very Spirit with us. And when you became a believer, He shared that with you. It goes wherever you are. We forsake God. God does not forsake us. He loves us. And His Holy Spirit is with us. And lastly, it commits us. It commits us to do the things that God wants us to do. It commits us to use our abilities, our minds, our skills, and the things, talents, things that God has given us to see His glory be exposed to the world, to let His message of hope be shared with the world. And it's through the Holy Spirit that that happens. All churches should reach out with grace to their communities. When you come together as the church body, it ought to be a place where grace is evident. 2 weeks ago, we got an opportunity to visit a church, and this is one of those, we don't get an opportunity to travel or meet with other church families. But I really enjoyed 2 weeks ago when I got an opportunity to be the guest at another church. And it was so wonderful to see that the body reached out in grace and was a welcoming body. It was like another part of my family. Even though you are my family. It was good to have that experience. All churches should reach out with the grace to their community. And if we're not being gracious out there, and gracious doesn't mean that we run away from the truth. Gracious means that we speak truth in hard situations. That we be truthful and honest before people. Honest and truthful about where we're at in the journey with the Lord. And where we fail, we have flaws, and we make mistakes, we own up that. Because God can speak through those to people who need to hear that God works in all of us. All churches should reach out with grace to the community. And if we're not, we need to repent. And we'll talk about that later. We need to repent where we have rejected somebody and turned them away. When maybe all they're doing is asking honest questions about what it means to follow Christ. Or that I fail and I blow it, and every time I go to church, I feel like a loser. I feel like I've blown it. I feel like I'm not worthy of God's love. And then the people remind me that I'm not worthy, and I don't feel connected and feel rejected. And so I encourage us as a church body in 2019 to reach out with grace, to love on folks, speak words of truth. We can't get away from speaking God's word with truth, but to do it with grace. We make it hard sometimes for people to become believers or to keep on the path. And Peter had heard all the arguments, and he had been a part of the debate. And he was like, listen, don't put on these new believers something that we can't even follow. And we all do that. I have it. I have a list of things that just make me cringe, pet peeves, and things that just like I wish people wouldn't do. And I even have brothers and sisters in Christ that do things that I wish they didn't do it. And you know what? I do things that make others cringe. And I have to work through them. We make it hard. You know, I had an opportunity to talk to Alec, and we were talking about what it means to become a Christian. And he asked me a question, and we were talking, and we were dialoguing. And in the end, he said, well, that's easy. God doesn't want to put a gazillion things that you have to go through to get to know Him. God has laid it through His grace. It is through Christ. Understanding what He did on the cross. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved because of what God has done. And Peter said the same words. Every so now and then, we need to be reminded of the things. We need to be reminded of these things. And Peter did that. He listened to all the debate, all the conversation, and said, listen, we're all saved by God's grace. Not something I did on my own, but through what He's already done. Thank you, Peter, for being faithful to what God has already done. Well, we also get a word from Paul and Barnabas, and their message today for us is to be ready to share beliefs and to celebrate what God is doing. Paul and Barnabas, man, they were the first ones in this passage. They were the first ones in the dialogue, in the debate. How many of you like to debate about your faith and what you believe in? Anybody like that? Do we have at least one? One. We got, well, I see one. Two. How many of you would be probably on the other side where you're like, I don't want confrontation. Matter of fact, I don't want to confront because I don't want to rock the boat on things. Anybody more on that level? Where's your hand? Yeah. We probably, like I said, that was about 90%, probably about 90%. But we can learn from Paul and Barnabas, and their message for us today is to be ready to share your beliefs and celebrate what God is doing. Man, they debated. I wouldn't want to go against Paul because he was a Jew, and he was a Jew so far, you know, and he was out there killing Christians. And God got a hold of his heart and totally transformed him. He became a Christian, and so he got him from both sides. He knew exactly who he was arguing with. He could go point to point to point to point and argue, and he would win. Because he wouldn't give in. And he wouldn't give up. And that's why we love Paul. And that's why Paul got the opportunity to write half of the New Testament. Or about 75-80% of the New Testament. It is okay to talk about your beliefs and to show others respect when sides disagree. We need to be prepared in 2019 to go into the debate. Go into the conversation with God's Word, the truth, leading by the Holy Spirit, with grace, to have the conversations that are necessary to point people back to God and back to Christ. And to not let just somebody's random thought or opinion take root that is the ultimate truth. Because a lot of times that's what happens. One person, it's always the loudest kid. Or the loudest adult who just takes over the conversation and you're just like, oh my goodness. We need to be willing and ready to step in and say, that's not true where untruth is being spoke. But do it with love and grace. They debated, they argued, they discussed. I love that. Paul and Barnabas, they were round and round with these other brothers in Christ. They disagreed. And finally they got to the point where it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to get some other people. We're going to have more discussions. And eventually they were able to work it out together. Church on Sunday mornings and Sunday school and then Bible studies has to be a place where we can ask questions. We can challenge each other about what the Word says and wrestle together and let the Spirit guide us to a place to be on the same page. Even if we don't always agree. No two believers completely agree with everything associated with our faith, so we have to work hard. We have to work that. So we need to work to find what we have in common and build that relationship from that. And remember, Peter took care of that. We're all saved by God's grace. God's Word is for every believer to read and to study, to apply to your life, and to let your life be guided by His Word. All believers ought to talk to God and be in prayer for Him. All believers should be, hear me, all believers should be using the skills, abilities, talents that God has given you for His glory. You don't know, there's some things that you guys can do that I can't do, and you're not using them for God's glory. You're holding on. 2019, let it out. Let God use what God has already given you to glorify Himself. Paul and Barnabas, like I said, they debated, they argued, they discussed, and eventually they had to reason it out. God was at work. And when God is at work, we can't forget that He is at work not only in our life, but in the lives of those that we come in conversation. You never know when you're going to make somebody think about what they're saying and what they believe in. But you might be the person that God uses at that moment. Paul and Barnabas, be ready to share your beliefs and to celebrate. I didn't even test that. Celebrate what God is doing. We don't always do that. There's a balancing act when it comes to celebrating what God's doing. Sometimes you don't want to be like, I'm always praising God for what God is doing. God is doing so much. We need to be better in 2019 to celebrate what God is doing. Because you know what happened? As we read this scripture today, when people were sharing what God was doing to the Gentiles, there was great joy. And when you get an opportunity, when God is at work in somebody's life, and they come back to you, you can sense it. And they share, it's like, man, I'm seeing some God do some things in my life that I never thought He would do. And they did, and they just roll out a gazillion things that God's doing. And you're just like, wow, I wish God would do that in me. But you're excited because you know that God can. You get excited and you want to join it. It's like, I want to see God do that in my life. I want to see God at that. And so then one day you'll be the person sharing out of your joy what God is doing. We need to celebrate what God is doing. God has sustained us. God worked and He recreated this sanctuary last year. We praise God for that. New relationships, new people at the church. God did that. And there's so much more that He wants and will do in 2019. Be ready to share your beliefs and celebrate what God is doing. And then the final one comes from James. Like I said, we get three guys, three messages that we need to help. And all of it is going back to helping us stay united to one another, stay united in Christ. And James says this, God rebuilds broken people and we all are broken people. He uses scripture from the past. And that was great about James. He used scripture from the past, from Amos and other places, to speak a word. Say, listen, God's at work. The remnants of people who love Him and have a relationship with Him are always going to be there. And God is continually to rebuild what is broken. Rebuild what is separated. Rebuild, renew, redo. God is always in the process of doing. And I don't know about you, but in some ways, in 2018, I felt at the end a tired minister. Because you just get so busy and you just get doing this and that and you lose focus. It's so easy. And then Christ renews you through the message of hope that comes through Christmas. And He renews you from taking you out of where you're at, not focusing on what's going on, and you see things differently. And He renews you. He rebuilds you. He re-strengthens you. Because God has always done that. God is always rebuilding broken people. Today we just need to recognize that we're all broken people. God is in a process of rebuilding us in His image. Okay? He's rebuilding our lives. When we put our trust on Him, that's the foundation. God builds off of that what He wants to see happen. And when we let Him be the builder, He builds good things into us. And when we try to build our own, most of the time we do a shabby job and it falls apart. Every believer has a story and a journey that they are on. Be patient to understand what someone has come from and listen to how God has worked in that person's life. God rebuilds broken people. And that's another place, another opportunity for us to be united. There's no one in this room that is a follower of Christ that did it on their own merit, their own strength, their own power, and their own story. God's story flows through each one of you. His work of redeeming you, to strengthen you, to building you up to be His children for eternity. The church is made up of sinful people who have responded to the invitation of God to know Him. And as we say on our webpage, to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Working towards being a united body of Christ. Uniting with Him. The invitation today, as we seek to move on in 2019, to use this time, this worship service, to make sure that we're going in God's direction. So I'm encouraging you during this time of invitation. Maybe today is the day for you to repent of any sin that you've been holding on to. In this church setting, in this worship service, this is the time and place that God want you to turn back to Him. Give 2019 to God. Let Him guide your life. Don't let that sin root in Don't let it take over your life. Even little bitty ones. Like our attitudes. How we speak to one another. Today is also the invitation is to rededicate yourself to prayer. I've talked about that enough. Recommit yourself to talking to God, praying to Him, staying connected to Him in 2019. And the last one, to rededicate yourself to working towards unity, whether it's here at Emmanuel, or it's through working with other bodies of believers in this city. I want to encourage you to work towards unity. Because I know tomorrow I'm going to go to work in my lab. And there are a number of Christians that come and they worship in different settings. I know that they would be encouraged if I would come beside them and tell them I love them in the Lord, that they're, whatever they're facing, that they're not alone, that we can stand together and we can share the words of truth, share the gospel, do work and life together and honor Christ, knowing that they're not by themselves. Rededicate yourself to working towards unity.